What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
Yes, it's time to pull out all your best advice and help a listener out of a pickle. This dilemma is about where creative endeavour and friendship collides. Helen has written to say, I have a friend who writes the most appalling doggerel on any subject she fancies. She then insists on reading it out to me, and it goes on and on and on till I am almost jumping out of my skin with boredom. I don't want to hurt her feelings, but how can I make it stop? Okay, Helen, well, here to advise you on this one, author, journalist and editor, James Button. Hello, James.
Hi, Amanda.
And comedian and librarian. Now, there's a fabulous career combination. Monica Dallard. Hello, Monica.
Hello, Amanda.
Now, your thoughts welcome on this too. You can post your advice for Helen on Facebook. We're at ABC RN Life Matters. James, as a writer and editor yourself, this sort of thing surely must have happened to you.
It has, Amanda. And in fact, I really like this modern dilemma because it's very intriguing, because I think it's a question about friendship. You know, what is my obligation as a friend when someone comes to me and says, I've written something, or I've painted something, or I've written a song? I don't know, I've built a kennel for my dog. What do you think? You know, all the things that we ask to be, reviewed on. And so in writing, what do you do? What is the balance between loyalty and compassion towards your friend and honesty? I guess I'd say that that when someone shows you a piece of work the first time and they're serious about writing, you need to encourage them. But if they keep showing you stuff, I think there's a responsibility at some point to be honest, because they're asking for you to tell them the truth, and part of being a friend is to be truthful.
Well, are they? I mean, I think you do have to work that out. Monica, is it the role of a good friend to endure these sorts of pursuits and passions?
Well, yes and no. I'm more the empathetic sort of type, and not that you aren't, James. But one of the definitions of doggerel is that it's so inept it makes us cringe. And it sounds like Helen's friend has hit the nail on the head. She's doing it really well. She's actually got the right
example. Oh, I see. She's got it right.
She's got it right.
I'm not sure that the friend is deliberately writing doggerel.
Yes,
I think that's
sure.
Helen's
yeah.
term for
but
it.
You know, but in that case, so I sort of took that point that, and maybe they're completely mismatched as best friends. I mean, how do they get together? What's...
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. I suppose what interests me about this, and it's what you're saying too, James, is that, you know, I've known people in my wider circle who, for example, developed a passion for painting, which is great for them. But then they have an exhibition, and the pressure on you is to go along and to buy one of these things that you think is hideous.
That's hard.
I mean, why can't people pursue their creative hobby pursuits quietly to themselves? Why the need to get the involvement and approval and support of others?
We all want to be loved, especially by our friends, I guess. And
yeah, but that doesn't make them love.
No,
that doesn't make
no.
me love that bad painting. I mean, I love dancing. You know, I love going to regular dancing classes, but I'd never be, you
at
know,
a dinner party, you don't stop and say, I'm now going to do...
No, I'm not in a public performance. You know, I'm not going to do a concert and make my friends come and pay money to see me. I wouldn't inflict that on them.
But I think it goes to doggerel, doesn't it? The friend, Helen has called it doggerel. Is the other friend, the one who's written, serious about her writing or not? If she's just writing stuff that she thinks is funny, or then at some point you can say, look, I don't think this is working, you know. But if she's serious about her writing, then you need to take, I guess, a different approach to how you respond.
Well, Monica, let's talk more about the possibilities for Helen to, you know, relieve herself of the burden of this.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, as a librarian, there's definitely some self-help books in the library, not for the friend, but for Helen, because, and there is a writer called Sarah Knight who's just put out a book, and she definitely loves to put a swear word in every title, but it's pretty much life-changing magic of not giving up or whatever, and how to stop spending time you don't really have with people you don't like, doing things you don't want to do. So it's charting up the hot, you know, it's hot on the library charts. And she's from Brooklyn, so she speaks from the heart, and she doesn't mismatch her words. So I think that would be good for Helen to get that book for a start. And I think that maybe her friend should go to a some sort of doggerel open mic night. And
she's got to be one somewhere, doesn't there, Monica?
Got to be, yeah.
Somewhere in our world there'll be a pub that does doggerel nights.
Yes, or definitely. Something. Or something where you're doing bad poetry and, but it may be funny, but maybe not.
Well, look, it's interesting that the friend wants to read out loud to Helen rather than handing her the manuscript and asking her to read it. And on Facebook, someone says, "I'm sorry, I just can't concentrate properly when people read aloud to me. Leave a hard copy with me and I'll read it when I can focus better." I wonder, though, given the quality of Helen's friend's writing, which would be worse, James?
Oh, look, I think the person who wrote in on Facebook is absolutely right that if you really want to think about something, you need to sit down by yourself and read it. So there's something about reading aloud that's performative, isn't it, Monica?
Yeah, and in this case, I think that the woman it is a performance for her. So she's trying to get feedback, which would be, it would be cringeworthy. And, as you say, for your first draft, it's often bad, but encourage people to keep going. But I think she's in some sort of poetry slam sort of events that she might be doing or hoping to do. And she's, picked her.
I see. That's what you think. Yeah.
She's picked her friend to sort of,
try it,
burden
out
her with it.
Right. But there's something going on with the friends, isn't there? She says she's jumping out of her skin with boredom. That's
and it
a very
must
strong
be a lot.
It's so bad. Look, I did a really bad thing once that I'm going to admit to now. Years ago, a boyfriend read to me from a book that he'd just finished writing, and it was really good. It was really good, but I was really tired, and I fell asleep when he was reading. Well, he was deeply offended, and he was never going to read to me again. Perhaps Helen could deliberately fall asleep as a strategy to get this friend to stop.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I think so. I mean, I think that obviously, I don't know if they're flatmates or something, because why is this one reading to her so often?
Well, they're chums, I suppose.
They're chums, chums.
All right. Well, look, we need to wind this up. I hope for Helen's sake that this does help. Get the self-help book out of the library.
I think self-help books, get it.
Or suggest the friend get to an open mic night, okay?
100%.
Or my advice, fall asleep.
It's great criticism to fall asleep. It's very eloquent.
Well, now, look, if you've got a tricky quandary too, or a moral dilemma that you find yourself in and that could do with a public airing here in Life Matters to sort through your options and possible strategies, and it could be a professional or a personal dilemma, let us know about it on the email lifematters@abc.net.au. Many thanks for helping us out with this one. James Button is a writer and editor. Monica Dullard is a comedian and librarian. Good on you both. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.